Well, it's Wednesday night. It's a little bit time we do things maybe just a little bit different. And sometimes we have speakers or missionaries or sometimes just a Bible study and sometimes some information and whatever. Tonight I want to, I recognize it's October. It's getting close to the end here. Within a couple of weeks, I guess, we'll be recognizing a time they call Halloween. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Now, don't get scared. I'm not going to try to steal your fun, but I'm going to try to inform you a little bit. And I think you ought to, you know, there's a lot of things you ought to get in balance on. And I'm real concerned, as I see today, in the world out there, I see that they're making more and more of the gory devil-type stuff. I saw flashed somewhere the other day on the TV or somewhere, it's some movie they were advertised called The Walking Dead. Some place, Tampa, somewhere, was having zombie night or something, and they had all these people looking like they'd just been butchered. I don't quite understand where the thrill is in that. It's a little different than it used to be, much different than it used to be when I was growing up as a kid. When I was growing up as a kid, we had Halloween carnivals and stuff, but not the grossness that's now, not the blood and gore and all of that. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts to start with. We'll go a couple of places tonight, but I want you to go to the book of Acts, and I want you to go to chapter 19. Chapter 19 of the book of Acts. I guess you say, what got you on this, preacher? Well, once in a while I've touched on it from time to time. And I don't want to pastor a church that's not informed. We have the greatest information book in the world, and that's the Bible. And if God says something in the Bible that he's against, then there must be some reality to it somewhere for him to be against it. So there's some stuff we ought to be careful about, I think. Bible says don't give place. Ephesians 4:27, I think it is, says don't give place to the devil. Just a short sentence. That means don't give him any room, don't give him any authority, don't let him get a toehold, so to speak, or his foot in the door and all that business. And so I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight. Paul's been doing some miracles here. Acts is a transitional book, and God was empowering his preachers to do things as the early church was getting off the ground. And anytime anybody sees any kind of a supernatural display or demonstration or event, it attracts them. And they, to a great degree, want to copy it if they can. So what you have in chapter 19 of Acts is some fellows that get in trouble from trying to copy Paul, trying to fake something they didn't really have. Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, now that means a little bit out of the orthodox path, vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Are you with me now? Are you looking at it? And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed. Now, I want you to notice, they believed, and they believed here in beginning to believe in the Lord Jesus and hearing the truth. And many that believed came and confessed, showing their deeds. I'm going to park here just a minute. I'm probably going to run out of time tonight, but I'm going to park here just a minute to say whether it fits this exactly or not, you'd be surprised how many believers in professed believers dabble in the devil's side of things today. I'm talking about even church members. I'm talking about stuff they shouldn't be messing with, but somehow their curiosity got pricked and they just got into it, and you shouldn't be into it, folks. Notice in verse 19, many of them also which had curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. It's a lot of money then, a lot of money today. Silver more valuable than our paper today, I'll guarantee you. Verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now God was in this thing, and his whole purpose in verse 20 was the word of God would grow and prevail and get the truth out. Now, this conviction came on these people. They brought their curious arts. They brought their books. Now, I want to tell you something. There are ancient books written trying to show you how to get in touch with the devil, or with the wrong side, with the wrong spirits. Now, King James Bible don't use the word demons, it uses the word devils, you know that. But here you'll find somebody with an unclean spirit later on spoken of as having a devil in them. So there is the great Diabolus, the devil, Satan himself, but he's got a lot of little devils. And the King James Bible uses the word devils, that identifies the bad spirits for you. Now, here's the thing. They repented and they got rid of this stuff and they burned the books. That's exactly what I advise you to do if you got some stuff in your home you shouldn't have. Recently, just a few days ago, I was rambling through the back office where most of my books have collected over 40 years on the shelves, and not organized and all that, so let's don't get off into that. It looks pretty chaotic, I'll tell you, but anyway. I was hunting something, and I pulled out one, squeezed between two others, and as soon as I pulled it out, Stephen happened to be in the office, and I said, uh-oh, this shouldn't be here. And I remember through the years, from time to time, somebody has come to me with a book of incantations, a book from the devil's side, and every time I've taken it from them, I would tell them, you ought to get rid of this. Well, you take it, preacher. So I have gotten rid of them immediately. I do not read them. Quite frankly, I'd be afraid to read them. Number one, I'm violating God's command, so I don't read them. But as soon as I recognize them, I get rid of them. Somehow that one I got on my shelf, and I didn't get rid of it. So I handed it over to Stephen. I said, now don't look at it much, but I just want you to kind of get the idea. I said, this has got to go. And he said, well, the Bible says burn it. I said, take it and burn it. Now, I don't know where he has yet or not, but at last I saw it was in his hand, so I'm clean. Amen? But with all that said, that's the thing you want to do with that bad stuff. You want to get rid of it. Now, I want to talk to you here just a little bit. Now, I know the fun side of Halloween, and I know you're not going to hell if you go to a little Halloween party or you take your kids trick-or-treating. I think, though, this, as Christian parents, you ought to inform them about what it is and what could be wrong with it. And you ought to inform them about Christmas and other pagan days, and there's a balance there where you can do it right and not wrong. And teach your kids, and so don't get me wrong tonight. I want you to be informed a little. I remember having fun getting dressed up. They right down here at Lake Eva years ago. Some of you old folks remember they used to have a great big Halloween carnival down there. Back when the fruit boxes was wooden boxes, 100-pound boxes, they'd stack them up and build all kinds. And everybody remembers fishing, you know, over in the booth and wearing the mask and all that. It was pretty innocent, even though there was a lot of tricks that would get pulled. There was nothing bad like you hear about going on today. I remember my buddy and I were walking back from the carnival, and right about in the middle of town, the worst thing that would happen in Haines City was the store windows would get soaked. Not broken, soaked. They'd get a soap bar and go after it. Well, probably they needed cleaning anyway, but anyway. Anyway, my buddy and I were walking back, and we were probably only 13, 14 years old, and we didn't have nothing to drive, but we'd have been driving it. But police car pulled up just checking us out. They knew who we were. We knew who they were. And we stand at the door, and I was on one side talking to that policeman. My buddy was on the other side. And all the time he was there, he had his soap going all over the windows of the police car. Truth. His name was Kenneth. Mean as a snake. But anyway, he was soaping the fire of that car while we were just talking to the policeman. And the car pulled off, you know, good night. And he turned to me, he said, run quick. I said, what? About that time I saw the brake lights come on that car. Somebody looked in the rearview mirror. And we ran, and we got away. But that was about as bad as it got on Halloween in the old days. No real harm done. But so I'm not trying to tell you that it's an awful sin for you to do some little something, but there is a danger even in that. We Christians ought to be careful about joining in a festival that commemorates the dead and from the Satan side. And it's a $1 billion business today. I understand that. I do think it's a little wrong if we don't instruct our kids a little bit about the negative side of it, because it's all over TV. I mean, today it's the zombies. Today it's all this stuff. And kids are having a hard time. Hey, you just had the fellow paint his hair orange and go out there and shoot up the place, playing like he was the Joker out of Batman. You got some crazy. You say, well, he was just uneducated. No, he might have been too educated. He was in the university, wasn't he? Had his own psychiatrist he was going to at government expense. Amen. Well, help yourself. But $1 billion business goes on, and of course, I like the pretty decorations, and I don't mind seeing the pumpkins and all that. But we never have practiced at Halloween carnival here in our Christian school. We used to try to have a harvest festival, and we decorated up with hay and pumpkins, but no Halloween suits, no Halloween stuff. And I had parents that say, well, you're doing it at the same time as Halloween. Aren't you celebrating Halloween? I said, no, we're giving them somewhere else to go. Giving them somewhere else to go that's better. Giving them a choice. And that's what we did here for a number of years. But let me give you a little bit on this. The origin of Halloween, Halloween itself actually has its origins in the Catholic Church. It actually comes, the word comes from All Hallows Eve. Now, it was sometime called All Saints Day. And I'll give maybe at the beginning the best of motives to the Catholic Church trying to offset, but instead they wound up kind of uniting and joining in. And that's the sad part with a compromise like that. It was started by the Druids. Many of you know something about them over in England. But they actually had human sacrifice. And you would be surprised still today in America, probably even in our state and other states, there will be some coven somewhere, some cult, some group that will probably have some kind of a human sacrifice on Halloween night. That's bad, but it's true. I mentioned it the other night. In fact, we listened the other night to the demon voices on the tape of the girl that gave the testimony about her own dad impregnating her so the baby could be born at Halloween in time for it to be sacrificed. That was real fact, real truth. And some of you saw the film, and you know, and it wasn't a Hollywood film. I'm talking about the real, genuine thing. And that girl, and they say they still do this. I had some parents call me, grandparents, in fact, call me from Polk County several years ago, very much in fear that their grandbaby was going to be sacrificed on Halloween night here in Polk County by a so-called, their daughter had converted to be a witch, according to them, and a warlord, what's his name? Warlock, all right, was supposed to be the daddy. And I don't think it happened, but we even notified the sheriff's department with all the information that we had. So that stuff, it still does happen. Now, it happened with the girl I just mentioned a while ago. The baby did come in time for Halloween. They did go out in the woods. They built a big fire, and the big crowd of Satan worshipers got around, and they made this sacrifice to Satan, which was her baby. And every one of them had to taste of it. And she herself tasted of her own baby. That's her testimony and story after she got saved to tell. She was raised in it. She thought it was right. She thought it was as right as you thought it was right to go to church tonight. Can you get your mind wrapped around that? That is another world. It is another reality out there. So I'm saying, while we think of Halloween as being innocent, church, I saw on the church sign the other day somewhere where they're going to give trick and treat on Halloween to the kids and all. I don't want to get into it for the kids to get misled. Again, parents can deal with it with their kids as much as they want to. But the Catholic Church began to sort of Christianize pagan holidays, and Halloween was one of them. And it was one that goes all the way back, even probably what we would consider Old Testament times, because they offered the babies in the Old Testament to the gods like Moloch, Baal, those. And so the devil's been practicing and doing that for a long, long time. Now, some believe it moved into America during the potato famine with the Irish back in the 1840s. And in occult and witchcraft, the Celtics set this date of and practiced this date of October 31st. And they called it, I pronounce it Samhain, but that's not the way they say it. They say Samhain. That's the day that they talk about, the Celtic people there that brought that in. Now see if you recognize what they considered they were worshiping. The Celtic people were worshiping earth gods, woodland spirits, sun deities. I'm reading a note here. One legend explains that on Samhain, the spirits of all those who had died throughout the year would come back in search of living bodies to possess for the next year. Isn't that sort of what's on the movies today, that sort of stuff? Sure is. And it goes on to say, it was believed to be their only hope for entering the afterlife. It was also the day that the living were to communicate with the dead. The practice is called necromancy. I taught on that in Sunday school not long ago. God forbids necromancy. And yet there's been main TV shows like The Crossing and others on TV claiming we're talking with your dead relatives. And very popular. And a lot of American homes sit and watch that, but God tells us not to do that. In Deuteronomy 18, God tells us that it's an evil practice. And yet it's promoted. And even some half-good shows have parts in. The Lion King, for instance, has some parts of this stuff in it. And you got to watch out. By the way, you don't ever do good by mixing good with evil. We are to overcome evil with good as Christians. But listen, you can have a glass of iced tea here, Georgia tea, that means it's sweet. You can have a glass of iced tea right here, and 99.9% of it can be tea. But one drop of arsenic, you better not drink it. We better watch out how that the bad destroys the good. Let me ask you this. You know anybody that's sick in bed right now? Brother Tom was in the hospital over there, and they said don't visit him because of what he's got. Mercer is catching. Contagious. Now, let me ask you. If you wanted to cure Brother Tom, would you bring a well person in the room and let him spend the night in there? Who would come out well the next morning? Would the wellness catch and the sick man would no longer be well? That's just the opposite. They'll both be sick in the morning. In the same way, when you apply it, you watch out for thinking you're going, and see, the Catholic Church did this in coming in with the pagan holidays, bringing in, trying to Christianize it. Next thing you know, They're both sick. That's exactly what it amounts to. Deuteronomy 18 tells us not to mess with it. Now I want to go down through just a little points and give you a few origins, and most of you, well, some of you will know this anyhow. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, try the spirits to see if they be of God, right? That means we're supposed to test, we're supposed to judge right and wrong, good spirit, bad spirit, and how you do that? Well, number one, you do it by God's word. All right, let me give you first, though, three possible origins for trick-or-treating. Now, not just Halloween, but trick-or-treating. In the early practice of Halloween, people were afraid of spirits. Many of them still are. Afraid of spirits doing harm to their homes. If you go up to my door, I think it's still there. I believe it's got a little old wooden sign there. It says Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's good. I believe it's good to put scripture around your house. I believe it's good to protect in that sense, not in a superstitious way, but just God's word, heading off the bad spirits. But anyway, trick-or-treating had its beginning because people were afraid of spirits, afraid of the spirits coming by their house, especially on Halloween night, and doing them harm. So the Europeans, Catholicism again, tried to Christianize this pagan ritual, and they called it, have you ever heard it called this? Souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G, souling. They would go out, and you'll notice some religious practice here now, they would go out from door to door and collect what they call soul cakes or wafers. The idea was the more cakes you receive, the more prayers you can send up to help your dead relatives get to heaven. I got news for you. Brother, they're there or they're not already. It's too late to pray after they're gone. Amen. You better pray for them while they're here. But that was part of the trick-or-treating plan. And it was in celebration of the recent harvest, and the Celts would give offerings of food to their gods. And boy, you go to some mission fields today, you see this practice. I have driven through parts of Mexico in the mountains where you'd see little altars carved out of the mountainside. You'd see candles burn. You'd see the Virgin Mary statue in there. And we're talking about some of those people in that area starving to death, but take their last coin and lay it in there where that little idol is. It's amazing, amazing the power of this stuff. And so bringing the food to pacify, to bribe off the spirits. Now, the Celts would go out in the countryside on Halloween, and they would go out, and the population was afraid of them. So they trick-or-treat. They didn't want to have the trick. They wanted to leave treats for them. Because the Celts would go out and sometime kill the cows and the sheep and everything else. It was a fearful night. And so trick-or-treating in the beginning was a dead serious thing of buying off the spirits, paying off the spirit. Don't do my house any harm. We offer you an offering here. We give you a cake. We give you this whatever, that sort of thing. Now, they were also afraid that they would steal their children. And so all of that was a bad beginning. Now today, it's kind of innocent. Moms, you go with the kids and you got a bag and you go to the neighbor's door and they give you some candy. Isn't it a strange thing that all year long we tell the kids, don't take candy from a stranger. And then on Halloween night, you just blow it all to pieces. And we've had some bad things happen. We've had razor blades and everything else show some crazy nut behind the door pulling his own trick. Amen? And you need to think about some things like that. So then we have all these things like trick-or-treat. Then you have the jack-o'-lantern. And the Celts that lived in Great Britain, northern France, back in there, they would carry a lantern when they walked on the eve of October 31st. And they would generally carve out a big turnip and later on it become a pumpkin and put a candle in it. Well, now we recognize what's called a jack-o'-lantern, right? And take the pumpkin and carve out some eyes and a face and put a light in it. Well, they originally, though, walked with those things down the road with a light, with a lantern, to try to scare off the spirits. They were afraid. It was still a thing to protect them from the spirits. Now Jack himself, how did he get to be named a jack-o'-lantern? Jack was a man named Jack. That's deep. And he'd made a pact with the devil. And in that pact with the devil, he tried to get away from it, and the devil made him wander aimlessly through the darkness with nothing but a piece of coal from hell burning for his light. That's the origin of the jack-o'-lantern. So you see, all the origin doesn't come from the Bible. The Bible condemns it. Doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from the devil's side. All these little practices that are pretty well innocent with us today, Jack's made a pact with the devil. And a lot of folks in some of these pagan lands still teach that a person needs to do some of these things or the devil will become their father. Now, John 8:44 says he's already your father if you're not saved. Ye are of your father the devil, and lust of your father you will do, the scripture says. So you better watch out for that. The way you get free of it is inviting Jesus in your heart. Amen? Then, of course, the witch thing. Now, boy, the witch thing's growing in America. They got their own religion. What is it called? Wiccan? Wicca. All right. Thank you, Jesse. Wicca. Do you know that even in our military now, we are having to allow them to have Wicca chaplains? Really? Just like you could have a Christian, a Protestant, or a Catholic, or a Baptist chaplain, now you got to have a Wiccan, I guess it is. Anyway, tax money paying for that chaplain. Now, of course, it's been in the news, and several preachers have gotten arrested and gone to jail and had to go to court. Because when the Wiccan witch thing up in Salem, where they have the big festival every year, preachers went around passing out tracts and trying to do street preaching against it, and the police come and arrest the preachers for causing a disturbance. That's fact right now, real truth. Now, witches. When I was growing up, I was told witches were make-believe. I've learned better. Truthfully, witches are real. Not all of them. Many of them are fakes. Many of them think they are when they're not. Some of them are and don't know it. I met a few of them. It wasn't too long ago. It was a pretty good while, I guess. I preached something on Sunday nights some woman didn't like, and so I made the mistake that night of going to the door and shaking hands. Boy, she would let me have it. She had a husband, but he was a coward. He'd already went out and hid around the side of the building. And so she was blasting me away. You say, how you know she was a witch? I saw her broom parked right outside the door. I'm playing with you now, but some are witches and wouldn't admit it. Amen. But joking around with you. But the witch thing has had a resurgence in America. Now, maybe there was some abuse in the Salem witch trials. Maybe some of them really were. But boy, the liberals play on that. I mean, man, and you got such cliches as a witch hunt and all that stuff that's come from all of that. But even in our public school, in a case or two, one case up in Detroit, Michigan, where a young woman claiming to be a member of the Wiccan thing, Wicca, witch, whatever. Anyway, Wiccan religion. She was able to, according to the Chicago Tribune, she was able to sue and get the right to wear her pentagram and dress like a witch and still go to school. That's where we're at. The Wiccan religion claims they do not believe in the devil. Here's why they say that. They say they don't believe in the devil because the Bible says there is a devil and they don't want to believe anything the Bible says. Well, whether they know it or not, they're in his hands. You see, their doctrine, I won't park on this long, their doctrine is the gods, plural, of force. the earth, the elements, the earth, the wind, the fire, the water, and the spirit. That's what they want to talk about. Now, if you want to see how it's moving in, has moved in to our culture, way back in the Star Wars, what was it? The God of Force be with you. Yeah, may the Force be with you, that's it. May the Force be with you. All right, Book of Daniel talks about a fellow coming, we know him as the Antichrist, and he's gonna honor the God of Forces, right? Anyway, all of this, of course the devil's of limited genius, he brings all this stuff around again and again and again, but knowing a little bit about it. Now, what they have done today, they have united with the extreme group, and many of them are extreme, in what we call environmentalism. Because you see, this Halloween business, this cult, this Celtic thing, worshiping the spirits of the earth and of the trees and all that. Do you understand where we've come to today? We've got the Gaia religion, goddess Mother Earth. And this environmental stuff has got to the place it's become a religion. And it fits better with the witch thing and better with the Halloween thing and better with the Celts and all that paganism than it does the truth. God gave man dominion on this earth. I don't think you ought to cut down a tree if you don't have to, but if we hadn't been cutting them down, this country would have never been settled in the pioneer days. Amen. I mean, God gave us dominion, and that means we got the dominion over the animals too, and all of that that God gave, and you shouldn't abuse that, but at the same time, you don't worship the animals. And you don't worship the trees, and you don't worship the heavenly bodies. You don't worship the sun and the moon. But that's all of the devil business, and he has really pulled a big deal with it today. You don't know why your gas is about $4 a gallon. The biggest part of it is the regulations brought in by the environmentalists, so-called green crowd. That's what it's about. Can't drill your own oil, you might disturb a tadpole out there somewhere. Amen. But how about the black cat business? Anybody know anything about that? Well, that cat business was associated with witchcraft and has been down through the ages. A lot of superstitions about cats. You ever been walking or driving down the road and a black cat ran across your path? You say, oh, bad luck. Bad luck for the cat if I'm driving. I'm not gonna waste my brake pads on stopping, bless God. Help yourself. But anyway, with all that said, you know what part that thing played in the minds of people. That symbol of the black cat has been big all through this Samhain stuff. And here, and there's some truth, always a little truth behind the gross error. The devil is smart about mixing enough truth in. And part of their belief was that the dead want a body. And by the way, this is devils doing this. They want a body so bad that they will take even an animal's body, and that's scriptural. Remember when Jesus cast out the demons and devils and they went in the hogs, went over the cliff, remember that? Evil spirits also take in form of animals. Now, if you go out west and go out to the Indian tribes, many of their religions are involved greatly. Some of those dances and all that they do, you see them with the head of a wolf on, you see them with all that decoration of the animal skins and all of that business. That comes back to this thing that the spirits are, we know as the devils, will be trying to take a form of an animal. So you have stories like werewolves. You have those kind of stories down through history. And they say the most wicked, this is their doctrine, that the most wicked take the form of cats. Interesting is not dogs, but cats, and I don't know. But belief people coming back from the dead, that's not a Christian belief. The belief in reincarnation is not a Christian belief. And in most cases, it's a faked up deal with the devil. I have a theory, and I think I've had a couple experiences to bear it out, that sometime the same devil that's incarnated in somebody, and that somebody dies, that same devil spirit is trying to find him another body. They search. Apparently, they can't indulge, satisfy their own lust without a human body to do it through. I don't have time to get into some few examples that I've had. I told you about wrestling. Brother Fowler and I were wrestling with the demon man that lived in the house here behind the church many years ago. I saw that man, not a big man, but a fairly small man. I saw him turn into all the movements, sounds, looks of a wildcat. I saw his eyes, which was just as normal looking as mine. I saw them narrow to slits. I saw his hands become claws. I saw him move his toes just like I'm moving my fingers. You can't do that. I saw him do all of that. I heard the sounds, and I don't have time to go into that story again. Don't ever want it to happen again, but it was a real thing. And it was not the first time the thing took possession of him. His wife told me, said, I have seen that thing take over, and he would just go up in the air like this, turn around in the air, and stand stiff as a board on his head, just balanced there. I didn't know a thing about it. When I got back, finally getting him to the hospital that night, his wife asked me a question. I wish she'd asked me the question ahead of time. She asked me, did he act like a cat for you? I said, oh, yeah. He really did act like a cat. Truth of the matter is, the devil was using his body that way. The devil spirit, the unclean spirit, the devil that was in him. Now, anyway, while there's a lot of innocent stuff to it, still I just don't like giving the devil opportunity, and I don't like kids. If you're going to let some Halloween business go on with your kids, please explain it. Please tell them. Please educate them about it. Kids aren't in here tonight, and maybe only one or two of you still believe in Santa Claus. Looking around to see who, but anyway, enjoy Christmas, but tell them the truth about Santa Claus. Don't let them grow up with some falsehood. I grew up too long being conned into believing in Santa Claus and not knowing about Jesus. You need to let them know the difference. Amen. Dressing up in costumes, that was part of the thing back in the beginning of it. They had a fire festival to honor the god of death. They had their bonfires all over the hills of England and Ireland over there. They dressed up in costumes. It's kind of dumb thinking, but they actually dressed up in costumes to scare the demons away from them. That's a little backwards, isn't it? Quite a bit backwards. They put on death mask. And go down into Mexico, go down into South America, go down to a number of the mission fields, and they still do that today, big time. Big time, you can see it. Now, Deuteronomy 18, I won't turn to it because I'm out of time. There's about nine things there that we should stay away from. So if you can jot them down or just write the reference down, Deuteronomy 18, I'll number them real quick. Number one is human sacrifice. I've already mentioned that, told you about the girl sacrificing the baby. That was done to the fire gods. One of them was named Molech, Baal. They offered their children, burned them in the fire. God condemns that. Deuteronomy 18 tells them you don't give your babies to the fire. Divination, that's fortune telling. You watch TV, you got psychics advertising all the time on it, and that practice is condemned in the Bible. Number three, observer of times. This is astrology. Difference in astrology and astronomy. You got that? Astronomy, you can see up there with a telescope and see the heavenly bodies. Astrology is when you try to line up those bodies and those stars to tell you whether you're going to have a good day or not. Signs of the zodiac. My horoscope. I can't get out of bed today. Something bad may happen to me. My stars are lined up wrong. Or something bad will happen to you if you don't get up and go to work. The rent will come due. You know what I'm trying to say? Stupid stuff that people get into. Divination, fortune telling. Watch out for that, folks. Observer of times in the astrology. The stars are going to guide my life. Let the Word of God guide your life. And He tells you not to mess with that stuff. Number four, I'd say an enchanter. That's a person who uses chants to cast spells. And you'll find out that still goes on. I've even seen folks that claim they're Christians. Watch out for being too spooky with this business. I understand there's a little thing about coming up to a brother and saying, I've got a word for you. I got a whole bunch of words for you. Amen. It's called a Bible. But I've had folks do me that way. And maybe they mean well. But now, wait a minute. If God wants to speak to me, the Holy Spirit can get me to open the book, and He can talk to me, and I can read His word. Be careful somebody tries to come in to play Holy Spirit in your life. Look out for that. Somebody may can help you, but look out for that kind of stuff. And people that use this chance to cast spells. Now, right in high school, it's probably happening in ours with some of these. And generally, I'm going to say this, it's more girls than boys that mess around with the witch stuff. Paint themselves up that way and all. It's generally more that way. And you better watch out for it. Witches are not make-believe characters, because in Exodus 22, it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Do you know real witches got killed in the Bible? Israel was ordered to kill them. I'm talking about real ones. And it's probably more real than we think today, but a lot of fakery and a lot of junk and a lot of kids pretending to be. But the trouble is, they start out in a fun thing and get deeper in it, Ouija boards and all the rest of it. Next thing you know, they've messed up. And they're accepted as members of our culture today. Now, charmers, number six. I'm trying to pick out some words that would fit in here. Someone that makes objects to protect you or curse others. Well, how about that? A charmer. One of the school teachers here in our county taught the kids. Now we're going to learn some of this Indian religion and how they have these charms to protect themselves. So they went and set some of the charms in the school window to keep the hurricanes from coming. Little fetishes, little lucky charms. And I understand, I've seen some good men, maybe even some Christians, wearing a rabbit foot on a chain. So that's good luck. Wasn't good luck for the rabbit. Amen. And by the way, I'll get you off on something else there. Lady Luck was not what you think. Lady Luck was actually part of this kind of junk that we're talking about, and I'll get off on that. But watch out for charmers. Watch out. See, this thing, if you believe in it, then the witch doctors and others down in Haiti and other places will put a spell on you, and to a degree it'll work. Now, if you're saved, it won't take if you're really saved. But you'd be surprised how they scare people with that stuff. I got to quit because my time is up. The other thing is using divination. You look out for that business. There is somehow God has put a veil between us and the evil world. There's a good world out there. There's angels that sometimes show up various ways, generally unrecognizable till later. But there's also a devil's crowd trying to break through the veil on you. The truth is, you can open the door. You can give them authority. You can invite them in, and that's what you better look out for. That's why God's word gives you all that warning. Now, my point tonight is, Halloween's getting here. Be careful about it. There won't be any Halloween carnivals at Landmarks Ministries. We're just not going to do it. I want the kids to know that the big thing is Jesus. It's not the devil. The big thing is Jesus. It's not Santa Claus. And I think we need to be wise in these areas, because the Bible is full of it. I just touched the tip of the iceberg there tonight. Read those things. If God didn't know there was something the devil could get through to you, He wouldn't give you all the warnings. When He gives you the warnings, you better heed them, all right? All right. That don't mean you couldn't bring me a bag of Halloween candy. Let's stand, please.